Who stands?
Here we go. Well, we are beginning a new sermon series, and I know there are some of you who are like, wow, we never thought we'd get to a new sermon series. We did 17 weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, and now we're going to do 7 weeks in the biblical story, and I wrote a walk through the biblical story, but we shall see. It might be a gallop or a sprint, but that's going to be what's coming up for the next number of weeks. And our prayer as pastors, as we preach through this series, is not just that we gain some more understanding on the scope of the story, but that we fall in love with this story and find our place in it. This is not a story that we sort of read at a distance. It's one that invites us to play our role in the grand story of what God is doing in history. So that's where we're going over the next number of weeks. Now, I'm aware, as we preach this series, I became very aware that in our church, when it comes to the Bible, there's a pretty significant diversity. There are some of us who grew up with the Bible. Your parents read it to you before you could walk. You grew up in VBS and Sunday school and worship. And this is a familiar book to you. When you look at the Bible, you have some sense of what this book is about. There are others of us who did not grow up with the Bible. And it was not a book that was part of a formation. We were not part of a church. And perhaps then and even now, when you look at a Bible, you think, what is this book all about? This is strange. It is complex. There's a lot of weird stuff in it if you did not grow up with it. And if you don't think that, just think for a moment that in chapter 3 of the Bible, you're introduced to two naked people talking with, not two, talking with a serpent. That's pretty unusual. And if you don't grow up with the Bible, if this is not familiar to you, and you start reading it, this is going to catch you off guard. Unless, of course, you are a David Kimber and you are an avid Harry Potter fan and you're just waiting for them to break out in parcel tongue. Where are you, David? Is David here? He's not even here. Oh. You pass that along to David. That was just for him. He's an avid Harry Potter fan. But this is a vast book, and for a lot of people, it's not familiar. And I also realize that when it comes to the Bible, there's some of us who we've grown up with it, or perhaps we haven't, but when we look at the book, when we look at the Bible, we just think, this is such a hard book to read. It's like a pastor friend of mine, described the Bible for many believers like kale. You know it's good for you. You know it's good for you, but it's so hard to actually eat, right? And that's how we feel with the Bible sometimes. It's very big. There's a lot of extended passages. Sometimes it feels a bit dry, like the book of Leviticus. You know, my son Levi just started reading the Bible on his own at night in devotions. And I don't think there will ever be a time where I have to go into his room and say, Levi, okay, it's late now. You got to put Leviticus down. If you don't put Leviticus down, I'm taking that nightlight away. I don't think that's going to happen. And so we approach the Bible in our congregation from many different places. And we all have different views and understandings of what the Bible actually is. And what we want to do in this series is help us see this is what the Bible's trying to do. This is what the book is actually about, the grand story from beginning to end. And to start that off, I want to read for us a passage from Luke 24. And for me, this is a passage about Jesus revealing himself to the disciples. I love imagining this passage, so if you're an imaginative person, you can just close your eyes and allow this story to wash over you and imagine what it's like to be here. Otherwise, you can follow along in your Bible or on the screen. Jesus appeared to the two people walking away from the grave, not knowing that he had resurrected, and these two people ran to the disciples to say to them that Jesus rose from the dead, and then Jesus shows up. This is the story. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you when I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Think about this for just one moment. Before Jesus sends his disciples out, to speak the good news, before he fills them with the power of the Holy Spirit to be living and speaking and announcing what Jesus has done in the death and resurrection, he opens their minds so they can understand the scriptures. That's a really significant moment for the disciples. It's Jesus' way of saying to them, before any of this happens, I want you to understand the Bible. I want you to understand how I am the fulfillment and the climax and the center of the whole story. Every year when we do our membership classes, and some of you will know this, I always ask the question, what is the Bible? When you pick up this book, what are you picking up? And I always get a variety of answers, and some of you were the people who gave them. Some really interesting answers, some really insightful answers. This is a love story from God. This is an instruction for how to live. And the most common ones, I think, are probably these three. The first most common answer people give when they think about what the Bible is a collection of stories, important stories. Stories about characters like Moses and David and Joshua and Daniel. And all of these stories, as we read them, we gain insights on character and morals and how we are to live and not do things they did or do things just like they did, right? That's where we get the phrase, dare to be a Daniel from. When you read about these characters, you learn about how to live. It's a collection of stories. That's one way of seeing the Bible. Another way of reading the Bible is seeing it as almost a how-to help book. Instructions for how to live your life. You look at your life, you look at your family, you look at your work, you've got all these challenges, and so you go to the Bible and you want to find answers to those things. That's a lot of how we read the Bible. In fact, I remember looking at a Bible 2 years ago. I can't remember the name of it. And there was an index, not at the back, but at the front. And it said, if you're feeling this, look here. And it had a whole small index of saying, if you're feeling sad, read Psalm 139. If you're feeling happy, read Psalm 80. If you're feeling you want to retire, read Luke 12, 20. That's a pastor joke, by the way. When you get home, you'll understand why that's funny. And I think to myself, that's how we often read the book. We've got these issues and we want to solve those problems as we look at the Bible. And there's some really insightful ways of looking at it that way. Thirdly, a lot of us read the Bible as this very vast book. And as you go along it, you find these impressive and very important doctrines. You read through it and you learn about sin. You read through it and you learn about the salvation and what God is doing in His sovereignty. And you take all those different verses and you collect them to form a doctrine. By the way, that's what a lot of confessional statements throughout church history are about. They take all these teachings throughout the scripture, put them together and form what we call a doctrine on all these important themes. Now, all of these ways of reading the Bible have a great deal of insight. And all of us should be going to the Bible for instruction and looking at the characters of the Bible and learning how to live and what it means to follow Jesus and these important themes of grace and salvation and sin. But it's possible, and hear this, it is possible to read the Bible in all of these ways and still miss what the Bible is. Does that make sense? It is possible to even love the scriptures and still miss some of the most fundamental things about what this book is. When we hold a Bible, we are holding a story. And when I say story, I'm not talking fiction. I'm talking a narrative that has a beginning and it has an end. It has a plot, there's a crisis, there is something that moves forward, there's a glorious climax, and there is a beautiful resolution and conclusion. This book, from beginning to end, is a story. Yes, it's written by many authors over many centuries in multiple languages that we are not familiar with. It's not even written to us, it's written to other cultures. But these different writers over all the centuries, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are together telling us a unified story that climax in the person and work of Jesus. There is one hero in this story. It is Jesus. There is one Savior in this story, and it is Jesus. And with Jesus, the whole story hangs together. This is not just a private religious book we go to for a few interesting teachings on religion. This is not just a book written for a few people who might be religiously oriented. This is a book that's saying, this is the true story of all things. This is a story to make